Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up today, we'll be focusing on the contribution of some extraordinary Catholic women whose care for young people puts smiles on children's faces and helps build bridges of understanding between enemies. In our first story, I visit a small community of four Catholic sisters in Haifa on Israel's northern coast, whose home for severely disabled children brings together Jews, Arab Muslims, Christians, and Druze, who overcome barriers of mistrust in their common suffering and love for a sick child. What really got me were the wheelchairs. They were all lined up in neat rows, and they all had snug seats and low headrests. One line of empty chairs ran down the hall of one wing, another line down the opposite corridor. I was standing on a fall evening in 90-degree heat at the center of the U-shaped Institute for Severely Disabled Children, run by the Sisters of Charity, St. Vincent de Paul. The 125-year-old Arab stone convent is home to some 60 children, most of whom are so severely disabled they cannot walk or even turn over, much less talk or feed themselves. After our frugal dinner of Arabic salads, cheese, and fruit, Lebanese Sister Simone was taking me to see the children, already in bed for the night. "I'm going to take you first to see the babies," she said. And as the glass doors parted, we were greeted by a blast of cold air from the air conditioning inside. As we pass one little girl, her mouth parts in a wide smile. Her eyes are closed.
When she hears my voice, she starts to smile. I kiss her. I told her, "Karen, I am here." And really, she smiled.
To me, Sister Simone sounds surprised, but she shouldn't be. Over the course of the 3 days I was to spend at the Sacred Heart home, I found more love in this one place than most homes could muster in a lifetime. A nurse was standing in the corner. There were three babies in the room. One, a tiny curly-haired girl sitting in a high chair, looked no more than two. She was holding her head in her hands and swaying ominously back and forth. "Won't she hurt herself?" I was concerned. "Oh no, we wouldn't let that happen," Sister Simone assured me. A breathtakingly beautiful Arab boy with soft wavy hair was lying in a crib nearby, his big doe eyes following us, but somehow unseeing. He looked like a tiny 3-year-old angel. Sister Simone lifted his sheet to reveal a feeding tube attached to his belly. Many of her children are fed this way.
His mother gave him a piece of apple, and he ate this. When his father came back from the work, when he saw his father, he made excited.
He was so excited, the boy jumped with joy, and the apple went down the wrong way, blocking the air to his lungs. It all happened so quickly. Permanent brain damage at 9 months of age. "But this story is just as dramatic," she said, leading me over to the crib of a 3-month-old baby boy reclining in a seat and hooked up to a feeding tube, oxygen tubes sticking from his button nose. His mother had a long and difficult labor, she told me. The couple had tried for years to get pregnant, even trying fertility treatment. She was terrified of losing that baby. But the doctors performed the cesarean section too late. The baby wasn't getting enough oxygen. She explained that the father is a very religious, Orthodox Jewish man who had doubts about sending his child to a Catholic institution.
The doctor tell them, if you want to put your son in institution, I prefer him to be in Maison du Sacré-Cœur. It is the name of our institution. They told no, they are Christian. We prefer him to be in Jewish institution. He told them, go and see. After, you will give me your answer. And when they came, I received them. And they visited. We spoke together. We didn't speak about religion. And the same day, they call us from the hospital. And they told us they want to transfer the son tomorrow. And after, they come here and they are very happy.
Arab, Muslim, Christian, and Druze families have also found this sad kind of happiness in the care of the sisters and their staff.
When they come and they visit this institution, they say, or here we will put our children in this institution or nowhere. Because they say all the time, here we feel the humanity, we feel love. Really, this is what they say. And they see how we care about the children.
As we walked into another room full of cots and beds with raised barriers so kids won't tumble out, she explained some children are born brain damaged and with severe physical disabilities because their parents were close kins, like cousins, who married. She takes me to the bed of a bigger boy who grins widely when she stands before him and pats his face. Kifa Kabibi, she coos in her Lebanese dialect. If it weren't for the stubble on his hollow cheeks, I would have said he was 12 or 13 years old. Omar's 21, our oldest child, she says. He's been with us since he was a baby. In this room, a television plays music from an Arabic MTV station, the bright colors splashing out from the screen, across the walls, dancing. Guiding me to the end of the room, she takes me to the bed of a large boy, maybe 11. He's sleeping, but his hands and arms are contorted in what looks to me like an excruciating position. Most of the children are sleeping this way. The reason why daily physiotherapy, she says, is so important. She tells me, this is Aaron. He's a 16-year-old Jewish boy. And this, she said, pointing to the bed next to him, is his brother. A knife blade stabs my chest. I'm finding it hard to breathe. She is explaining that after the second boy was born, the parents discovered they each carried a genetic defect that only together they would pass to their children. They wouldn't have the problem with different spouses. But they decided to stay together and to not have any more children. They bought a specially equipped van to take the boys on outings. They come to visit every day.
They come to visit their child every day. They give them to eat. They take them with the wheelchair somewhere to the home, or they make a promenade, and they come back.
The father comes every weekend, Sister Simone says. And for the first time, her voice cracks. And he takes those boys home. Though this couple stayed together, many families are literally torn apart, especially when an accident is what caused the child's problems. Just like the little angel boy in the baby room, and another small girl whose chewing gum went down the wrong way. The sisters help the families by offering a word of comfort, sometimes a bit of advice, but always a warm smile and a hug.
It's very, very hard for the parents.
I'm sure that one must be blaming the other. You weren't paying attention and this happened.
They have culpability, same culpability all the time.
They feel guilty.
Yeah. And really we try to accompany them how we can, and really you have pity when you see them like this.
The rooms go on and on, some 4 to 6 children in each. One room has a small gate in the doorway. These are our children who can move around a bit autonomously, she explains. I peek into the darkness. There are only 3 children in the room. In another room, an Arab nurse hovers over the crib of one child who looks like he's 4 years old. She's rubbing his humped back. He's a tortoise with his feet tucked under him. And he's giggling, the only sound outside the hum of monitoring and feeding machines. Poor thing, Sister Simone says to me. He's like this all night long. He can't sleep. We try to calm him down. The little boy flops on his side, giggling some more. And though I am in what should be the saddest of all places, I find myself smiling.
I tell you the truth. To start to work with children like this, it's very, very hard for us. But after I tell you my own feeling, you feel deep peace. Believe me. You feel deep peace, and I think God give us force to care about them. Really, really, serenity. This is the word. And you saw them today. They look like angels, really.
And, you know, as I said before, I was expecting to feel terribly sad when I came here. But every child has a huge smile on his or her face.
Yes, this is what I told you, because really, really, we care about them. You saw during the day how many people are working, and they have much activity.
Where other institutions have 1 or 2 caregivers per child, Sister Simone tells me her home has 3 to 4. Doctors, nurses, teaching staff, and physiotherapists here come from all faiths, just like the children. A place of peace and friendship in a troubled land.
Yes, they see what we do. They see we are for all. We are the same with everybody. We give every child, every family what she needs. We accompany them, we speak with them, but no problem. Really here we didn't feel the problem.
Sister Simone explains that the head nurse is Jewish, and she points to the nurse in the room, rubbing the little boy's back.
The other is Arabic, Christian Arabic. We have also Muslim. Also physiotherapists are Muslim. Really, they make a team to care about the children. And if there is some child, if he is in the hospital sometimes, or if he is sick, nurse go to him, and after she call us to have news. All really, they like. They work with heart with the children, really.
The children's day is filled with activities. First, a bath, mealtime, physiotherapy, and music and art classes, language training, and time for strolls and rest. The staff also organize activities outside the home throughout the year.
Some children, we can bring them to the pool, to swim. It's very interesting for them.
Yes, I know that. And also, you've taken some of the ones who are a little bit more able-bodied, horseback riding, and to a hotel.
Yes, to a hotel 1 week. Every year, this year they were in Naharia. We have a special place, and the nurses go with them, care about them. They go for 1 week.
Parents and entire families are invited for children's birthdays and to celebrate Christmas and Easter and Jewish and Muslim feast days. On special family days, everyone joins in the fun with cooking classes, games, crafting ceramics, and dancing to music. I pause in our walk through the ward. we have arrived at an empty bed. Reading my thoughts, Sister Simone reassures me, this child is staying with her parents for the night. But an empty bed on another night would mean unthinkable sadness for one family and irrepressible hope for another. Only if one child dies is there room for another child.
You know, I told you, really, we are sad, really. There is a child, he died, and he haven't no parents, nobody. Only the welfare office and us. And he was Jewish.
Sister Simone, Sister Pascal, and two nurses took turns holding his hand in hospital. They were the only ones to say goodbye at his burial by a Jewish rabbi.
We were four people for his enterrement. His burial was with a Jewish rabbi and all this. And believe me, all we cried. It's very hard.
Have you ever felt particularly sad for one child that has been especially dear to you? Or do you try to keep yourself a little bit distant, not to get so attached to the children?
No, we are attached. You can't keep distance. You can't. I told you, really, you can't keep distance because, you know, they are completely dependent from us.
All of the staff, Sister Simone says, is aware of the importance of their job, and they must be competent at it.
Competence is necessary, is important, but the more important is the heart, believe me. To watch every child, to understand what he wants, from what he is suffering, this really you must have love and feeling for them.
When we walk back outside into the 90-degree heat again, my heart feels heavy, but not with sadness, with great tenderness and hope that in this bitter land, goodness and infinite love can triumph. Sister Frieda Nasser of the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Apparition runs the St. Joseph School for some 350 Christian and Muslim girls in Jerusalem. The Bethlehem native says she takes her job extremely seriously because she and her staff are forming the women and the mothers of tomorrow, instilling in her girls honesty, respect for human dignity, and respect for the other. For Sister Frieda, is just as important as studying math, languages, and science, especially when you live in a divided land.
We try to do our best, of course, with the Lord's grace, to educate women, because, you know, you have the girl now in your hand, but tomorrow she will be a mother. So it's important for us, the education of the girls. It's very important because they are the mothers of tomorrow.
You're in a country at conflict where there's not much dialogue between Jews, Muslims, Christians, and there's a lot of tension. How do you try to teach the girls tolerance, respect for others? These are the Christian values which most Catholic schools try to instill in their students.
Well, we will try. For Muslims and Christians, I can say at the level of the school, we have no problem. And they don't recognize which is Muslims, which is Muslim. They are all the same, and sitting side by side, playing side by side, studying. I can't say there is a problem at the level of the school, how the girls and they are living together. Now, for the Jewish, we don't have Jewish girls in our school, but sometimes we have some projects built with Jewish, Muslims, and Christians. Initiative with a Jewish school in Tel Aviv, a mother of a girl, Jewish girl, she was very friend with me, that I can say, and she proposed if we can do something together. And really, our project took place for almost 3 years. We choose one class from our school at the age of 10, they were, and one class from Tel Aviv school also at 10, the same age. And we tried to meet. We have been to Tel Aviv with our girls, with that class, special class, and their side, they came to our side also. We have some correspondence together.
Though that program had to stop because the Jewish girls divided up to go on to new high schools, Sister Frida has high hopes of finding new opportunities for exchanges.
I hope also in the future we can build something different. Also, we have a project for Muslims, Christians, and Jewish. Even the girls, the three religion, they travel also to Europe twice to meet also Christians, Jewish, and Muslims. And we built it also for two years, that project. But it is not easy. Sometimes when a conflict took place, these projects stopped, unfortunately.
What about trying to engage with some of the Jewish schools here in Jerusalem?
Well, we do it with agreement with both sides' parents. Jewish school, their parents has to agree for this project, and our school parents also. So we send a letter asking them if they willing to do so. And we have their answers written. So like that we are, with the agreement of the parents. So for example, when the Jewish school came to our side, the parents, some few parents accompany their children because they feel more at ease to be accompanied. While I can say our school we have been only with the teachers, no parents came with us. They were more confident from our side to go, while on their side they preferred to be accompanied by the parents. And it was also nice. We have a nice souvenir, and the parents were very happy to meet the girls and to know each other.
What do you think the parents and the children learned from these experiences?
I think the most important was being a Palestinian or being a Jewish, we can meet at the level of a human being. This was a discovering for both sides, because the children sometimes they think Palestinians are terrorists. And in reality, this is not true. They play together. They know that Palestinians are the same human being. They have the same rights, the same living, the same way of growing. So really, at the beginning, they were looking to one another. The first meeting was very, very impressive because they didn't know each other with correspondence until they met together here on our school. We welcomed them for the first time. It was a moment of very impressing moment, but after they know the names and we give them the names, it was written on their...
They wore badges.
Yes, and they have few presents for each other, so they start giving presents to each other, and I think a barrier came down, and they continue the day without even noticing that there is something, two religions are together. It was a very nice experience.
Sometimes Christians are looked upon with a little bit of suspicion, like they're going to proselytize, try to convert a Jew to Christianity or a Muslim to Christianity. Do you run into this problem?
No, at all. We didn't even think about it. Mind you, we are here since 100, almost, and 70 years, and never we tried to convert Muslim to Christian or Jewish to Christian. No, this is out of this. They are all human being, and we are all the same. We respect too much. We respect each one with his own religion. No problem at this.
What future awaits these girls when they leave here? Where can they go to university? Do they need some financial assistance with getting into university?
Well, the future in the Holy Land is difficult and unstable. So today, I can say, it seems to me, around 80% all they turn to universities. Bethlehem University, Bir Zed University, few they go to Hebrew University. Of course, it is very costly. Also, I can say the Franciscan Father, those who finish their school with success or they have special case home problem economic, they can help in giving them scholarship for universities. Other, the parent, they have to do some sacrifice to educate their children. And today I can say everybody is going, almost 80%, to universities. They have possibilities, as I said, Bethlehem, Bir Zed, Hebrew University. Very few, maybe 1%, they can go to Jenin, the American, because it has some special branches that both sides they don't have, like dentist. One of our girl now, just she finished dentist after 4 years, 5 years at the American University in Jenin.
Which is in the Palestinian territories.
Yes, yes.
And to find jobs, that's one of the biggest problems for people here, especially the Christian and Muslim communities. What future can await them? What is here to hold them here in the Holy Land and not look for jobs elsewhere in other countries?
It is difficult. The possibilities, I don't know. But for example, the people of Jerusalem, as Jerusalem is a touristic city and pilgrimage also from all over they come. So hotel management, business, accounting now, most of the students are directed themselves in this direction. And I can say they can find jobs, but difficulty is not easy. But maybe because the needs is there, for that they take this direction. For the West Bank is different. West Bank, I don't know. I can't say much, it is difficult. Sometimes teachers, they can turn to teachers in schools or bank accounting. If they find jobs also, it's not easy. Sometimes they have their diploma looking for years till they can manage to find something. It's not easy, no.
It's not easy either to overcome what some see as a culture of dependency that has, over centuries of conflict, gnawed away at people's self-esteem and pride. Sister Frida wants to change that.
Big problem. But in reality, now the time came, I think, to help the people also to count on themselves a little bit. In spite of the situation, always is not good, unstable, no work, life is very expensive. But I think to change the mentality, it takes time. It can't change it from one day to another. At school, we try to tell the girls many, many times that, you know, it's not easy always to find everything ready. You have to work. You have to rely on yourself. You have to find yourself, not always asking and begging, because this will not lead you far.
Sister Frida Nasser, providing academic excellence and hope for new generations of young women in the Holy Land. That concludes today's program. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.